Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord, praise the Lord. We'd like to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio, time to talk about it, where our host was none other than Apostle Gloria Porter. We'd like to welcome each and every listener today. My name is Sister Diane. We give honor to our Bishop, Bishop John Porter, Deacon Michael, and at this time, we begin prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of kings and Lords of lords, and there is no other God but you. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, O God, we ask you for forgiveness in those that we are praying for, Lord. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespass against us, Lord. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, Lord Father, you know each and every person, name by name, and what they're in need of, Lord. Heavenly Father, some ask for prayer for themselves, some ask for prayer for others, Lord. Father, as we touch and agree, O God, we are thanking you right now, Lord Father, for the prayers that you have already answered, the prayer that you're answering as we pray right now, Lord, and about to answer, Lord Father. And we're thanking you right now, O God, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Jerome Bryan right now, Lord Father. We ask you to touch his body right now from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet, Lord Father. Father, the doctors say one thing, Lord Father, but we know, Lord Father, we're just thanking you for being the best physician right now, Lord Father. And we thank you for touching him right now in the name of Jesus. Father, touch his wife, Candace Bryan, right now, Lord Father. Father, touch and strengthen her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Heavenly Father, we're just thanking you right now. We're just giving you praise. We're giving you honor, and we're just giving you glory, Lord. Father, thanking you, Lord Father, for not forgetting, Lord Father, our prayers, Lord. Father, touch Bobby right now, Lord Father, as we come against cancer right now, Lord Father. Cancer of the throat right now, Lord Father. We hold before you Yamilet that have breast cancer right now, oh God. Touch right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we know that you can do it, and we know that you're bigger than cancer right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Touch Yvonne Talbot, Lord Father, that have uterus cancer, Lord Father. Father, touch right now, Lord Father. We come touching and agreeing, Lord Father, interceding on their behalf, Lord Father God. Father, we know, Lord Father, that you can do it. Work it right now, Lord Father. Touch, Lord. We speak healing right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Touch Tanisha Dungy right now, Lord Father. Touch her body right now from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet, Lord Father. I know you can do it, Lord. I know you can do it. Father, for you say, by your stripes we are healed. And we're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your healing, Lord Father. Father, we continue, Lord Father, to hold the Porter and Whitted family in prayer on the loss of our Apostle Gloria Porter, Lord. Father, we continue to speak peace, strength, and comfort, Lord Father, to friends and family right now, Lord Father. We're thanking you and glorifying you, Lord Father, for giving us, Lord Father, your Brigadier General of Warfare, Lord Father, that war and intercede on others' behalf and never fail to share your gospel, Lord Father. So, Father, we ask you, Lord Father, to strengthen all her loved ones, Lord Father. Strengthen the city of victory right now, Lord Father. And, Father, you said you would not leave us comfortless, and we're thanking you right now for your comforter comforting us, Lord Father, as we continue, Lord Father, on the days ahead, Lord Father. Father, we hold before you Prophetess Baines, Lord Father, and her family, Lord Father. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over her from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet, Lord Father. Comfort her also, Lord Father God, on her loss, Lord Father. Father, we speak strength right now to her, Lord Father, for she's still, Lord Father God, doing your work right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we hold before you, Lord, the schools in the Virgin Islands right now, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. We come, Lord, Father, against that fighting, Lord, Father. Father, the violence, Lord, Father, not in the schools just there, but around this nation right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Father, forgive us, Lord, Father, the sins of our fathers and forefathers, oh God. Father, where they took you out of schools, we took you out of our job places, Lord, Father. We are even trying to take you out of our mouth and hearts, oh God. Forgive them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. And, Father, we cry out to the parents right now, oh God, for them to pray, Lord, Father God, for their children right now, Lord, Father. It doesn't matter how big or how small they are, Lord. Father, let them pray, Lord Father, for their children, covering them under the blood, Lord Father God. Father, for we know, oh God, that no day is promised to us, Lord Father. We thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right mind, oh God. Father, we thank you, we glorify and magnify you, for Father, many did not wake up this morning, oh God. Many don't have the use of their limbs, oh God. And Father, we have that opportunity, Lord Father, to take that breath, Lord Father. We have that opportunity, oh God, to use of our limbs, Lord Father. Father, help us this day right now, Lord Father, to do it, Lord Father, to benefit your kingdom, Lord Father, to draw others into your kingdom, Lord Father, to war on others' behalf right now, Lord Father, and take nothing and no one for granted, oh God. Father, we thank you for each and every man and woman of God that comes upon this broadcast, oh God, bringing forth your word, what thus say the Lord. Father, and you use them in a mighty and a special way, oh God. So, Father, I ask you right now, Lord Father, as I hold before you Elder Addison right now, Lord Father, I ask you to decrease her, Lord Father, as you increase in her, Lord Father, and let her let go and let you have your perfect way, Lord Father, not her will, Lord Father, but your will be done, Lord. And, Father, speak, Lord, Father God, to your people like never before, oh God. Give them the ears to hear and the heart to receive the word as it's coming forth. We unstop deaf ears right now and break up that stony heart right now, Lord, Father, that you may receive the word, Lord. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for just doing it for them right now, Lord, Father. Some needs a word, Lord, Father. Some need to hear, Lord, Father God, what you're saying in this time, oh God. Heavenly Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast, and I cancel every assignment that was sent towards this broadcast to try and hinder anyone listening or speaking on this broadcast, Lord. And we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I hold before you my bishop and my pastor, Lord Father. And Father, I ask you right now, Lord Father, as I plead the blood of Jesus over them from the crown of their head, Father God, to the soles of their feet, O God, that you continue to refresh, refill, and rejuvenate them. Give them the strength, O God, that they need in you right now, Lord Father, for they need you, Lord Father. And we know that you will never leave them nor forsake them, Lord Father. So, Father, I ask you to keep that hedge of protection round about them, Lord Father, and let them continue to look to the hills whence cometh their help, Lord Father. And Father, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise. And we say, show up and show out. Show up and show out, Lord Father. We thank you for healing and deliverance right now, being in the midst right now, Lord Father. Father, I ask all this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
And amen again. Thank God for Sister Diane, and thank God for the prayer, because truly our God is a praying God. My heart is very heavy at the loss of my flower, Apostle Gloria Porter. I want to thank you, and the many of you that call and text and send your condolences of the loss of my beautiful flower. See, praise God, took a transaction to be with the Lord, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I just want to thank God for each and every one of you, for your gratitude, and for your many prayers that you are praying for our family and Deacon Mike, and for the rest of the family, and even for City of Victory. We want to thank God for you. Praise the Lord. We was not on the air last Thursday because we was at the hospital when she took her transaction. So that's why we missed, but we are yet here to do the will of the Lord. And let me give you a little thought today, and we're going to turn it in the hands of our speaker for today. And the thought for today is, lack of faith can cause us to think of our fears as actually danger, our worries as absolute reality, and our anxieties as all-important crises. On the other hand, deep abiding faith and ultimate good and divine presence and perfect love give us the strength to stand with assurance regardless of outer what circumstances. I know it's pretty long, but it's so true. I'm going to read it one more time. Lack of faith can cause us to think of our fear as actually danger, our worries as absolute realities, and our anxieties as all-important crises. On the other hand, deep abiding faith and ultimate good and divine presence and perfect love give us the strength to stand with assurance regardless of outward circumstances. And it's so true. Praise the Lord. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you, amen, for taking time out, amen, to broadcast today. Time to talk about it. We're truly, amen, committed to continue to work what Apostle, amen, have laid out. She laid the foundation for City of Victory, man, and her last prophecy. And she said to us and to the church to carry on, to go forth, praise God, this year of 2022 in the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. in the name of Jesus. Now, at this time, we're going to decrease. We're going to let the woman of God, Ella Yvonne Addison, come in her own way. Praise the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning, City of Victory. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And just saying to Bishop Porter and Sister Diane and Deacon Michael and all those of City of Victory that I'm praying for your strength, praying for comfort, and just knowing that God is with you. He's with us, all the family members, and we would truly miss Apostle Gloria. I just want to say that I'm grateful for the opportunity that we had to bond and come together through the prayer call on Saturday morning. We did not have know each other. Well, we had had times to talk before the prayer call, but we didn't have that bonded relationship that we had through the prayer call. And so truly we'll miss her, all of her wisdom she poured into my lifetimes. We talked a lot off of the prayer call, and she truly spoke wisdom and just, you know, just truly a woman of love. And that will just go into what the message is about today, is what's love got to do with it, everything. And so she demonstrated love because she loved people, and she loved God. And so today we're just going to talk about love. You know, February is the month that we should be showing love all the time, but February is the month set aside for Valentine's Day, where people start doing special things for, you know, the loved ones and so forth. But we need to really think about what love is, you know, what it truly means, and that it does. It says what's love got to do with it is everything, because God is love. How many of us have told someone today that you love them, or how many times today has someone told you that they love you? And so most of us, you know, sometimes we hear that, we'll say yes, and maybe not, you know, but there may be some who are listening who have not had anyone to tell them that, you know, that I love you. Or there could be those who have heard the words but were not able to receive it, because love is a foreign concept for them. And that's really, we think about that, that's kind of, you say, that's kind of strange to believe that love would be a foreign concept for someone. But you think about it, we look around us, you know, things that's happening in our communities, happening in our around us and in the world, it appears that love is a foreign concept for some. Or the person who's saying these words may have an ulterior motive for saying it, you know. So can you imagine a child not hearing those words from their parents or the people that are expected to show love without any conditions? And so we do. There are many. There are children who never hear that from their parents. And that's why, as people of God, and we have the love of God in our hearts, you know, whenever we have the opportunity to speak into the life of a child, we should do that, because we don't know. We don't know what that child had, you know, is going through. That child may not have heard an encouraging word. That child may not have heard, you know, anyone say anything uplifting to them. And so that's why we, you know, as people of God, that we have that love in our heart, that share that love. And what happens is these children become adults who are unable to give and receive love without it being a toxic relationship. So in their day-to-day attempt to express love for others, there are perverted motives, selfishness, pain from the past, influence the expression of love. So So when we see people who are individuals who are not able to express love in a healthy way, in a healthy, godly way, it's because they're attempting to express that love through perverted motives, through pain from the past, and that's influencing their expression of love. So most importantly, rejecting God's love. You know, we cannot make someone love us who does not have the capability to love. So when someone rejects God's love, they reject God's love. They're not capable of loving anyone else. They're not capable of showing love, demonstrating love, expressing love to anyone else, and especially not to others, and especially to themselves. So when individuals are in a place where they are, you know, not able to express love, to love themselves, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, then that love is demonstrated in ways that they try to, live a life that's not fulfilling, or live a life that they're trying to harm themselves or do things that just does not bring a peace in their lives. So if we have been observant to how our society views love, we can state that it is twisted. Yes, it is twisted. We have this thing called love twisted, and it is. It is based on conditions, not unlike God's love that is unconditional. So when horrendous acts of evil are displayed on unsuspecting people, love is void in the hearts of those committing these acts. They cannot have any love in their hearts, or they're doing things to people. They're trying to undermine or trying to oppress, you know, bring even more oppression. We have leaders who are oppressing people, you know, and then they say they stand and they say that they love God, but then their actions don't show it. Their hearts are void of God's love. There is no way that we can have God's love in our hearts and then, treat people in unkindly and treat people with disrespect and treat people in a way that will try to bring harm to someone or keep them in bondage, you know, to oppression and depression. So we have in our hearts, when we love with the love of God. But God's love by Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ has maneuvered its way into the hearts of those who trust him. Do you trust God today? Do you trust the Lord today? You trust him. You have the love of God in your heart. The power of his love has given us the capacity and capability to live a life of love and service unhindered. Let me read that again. The power of his love has given us the capacity and the capability to live a life of love and service unhindered. So we're to be serving others. We're to be serving others and showing, how we can help others, what we can do, you know, to show love. And so when and we do it unhindered, we're not hindered by, you know, by prejudice. We're not hindered by racism. We're not hindered by, fear of loving or fear of receiving love. We're not hindered in those ways, but we are, you know, we have the power of God's love gives us the capacity and the capability to do that, to love and to love others and to serve others. So where did it begin? In John 3:16, for God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. That's love. That's love, that he sent his son, that he gave his only son. His son came here on earth and so that love could be demonstrated. And he died for us, love demonstrated. He rose again, love demonstrated. He sits on the right hand of the Father, love demonstrated, interceding on our behalf, love demonstrated. 1 John 4:7-11 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." What does it say? What the scripture says, to love one another. And where does that love come from? It is the love of God. The love is of God. That is who he is. God is love. God is love. We don't have a relationship with God. If we don't have a relationship, we have not accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts, it is difficult to show love. It is difficult to show the kind of love that God wants us to show, wants to be demonstrated, wants us to have in our hearts. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So what does it say right there? That if you're loving, if you know how to demonstrate that love, if you know how to serve others, be respectful, you know, go out of your way to help, and being compassionate, having passion and compassion for people, then it is born of God. That person is born of God and knows God. So he who knows, verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God. And that is just listen to that. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. So if we don't know God, if you don't know God, you're not capable of loving. That's why I believe that we have marriages that are not flourishing like they should. We have relationships that are not healthy because we're not loving, because we're not loving with the love of God, because we don't know God's love, and so we can't show that love, can't be demonstrated and shown to someone else. Verse 9 says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this love of God was manifested toward us." Amen. Praise God. And then verse 10 says, "In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." I want to stop right there. Praise God. That is such an awesome, awesome, awesome thing to know, a revelation, getting that in our heart, that it's not that we love God, because we were in our sin when we were in that place of darkness, we weren't demonstrating God's love. You know, we weren't there. We weren't loving God. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us, even in the midst, even in our darkest moment, even when we're in our sin, Jesus died on the cross so we could be saved, so we'd have a relationship, we'd be restored, our relationship with God would be restored, we'd have peace with God. And just think about that. He took on the sins of the world. And I just want you to take a moment, think about that, because just think about our individual selves, okay, and where we were before we came to Christ, before we invited him into our heart and we began to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. Just think where we were, the things that we did. That's just our individual selves. But think about the whole world, that Jesus took the sin upon himself for the whole world. That was love. And he endured, he sacrificed, he suffered the sins of the world. That was love. And just think about that. That was unconditional love, God's love, showing his love toward us. And he did it for us, for the world in our sinful state where we were just, you know, people, individuals who just were, you know, doing our own thing, thinking our own thing, behaving any kind of way. But Jesus laid down his life for us. So just think about that. We wouldn't, he did that for us. And asking a question today, we would maybe about laying down our lives for someone that we love, someone who's, you know, who's loving us back, someone who's, you know, who's not doing all these, you know, horrific things. You know, we wouldn't think about laying down our lives for them, but we might think about laying down our lives for those, you know, that we love, those that we know that, that we have good relationships with. But just think about that. Jesus laid down his life. He sacrificed his life for the world. Every kind of being, every kind of attitude, every kind of behavior, every kind of sin imaginable, he did that for us. That was love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. So in verse 10 it says, in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to do what? Love one another. And I know right now some of you might be thinking through your mind, people who you just find unlovable, individuals that you cannot see yourself demonstrating love to. I know, because there are people like that. There are individuals like that. And you had said, but what is God saying to us? Beloved, if God so loved us, if he loved us, we also ought to love one another. How plain and simple can that be? Love one another. Love one another. He that is born of God must love because the Father is love. So therefore, love shows that we are of him and know him. On the other hand, he who knows not God does not love. And this is the supreme manifestation. Christ is the supreme manifestation of God's love. So love comes straight from God. It comes straight from God. My Lord, thank you, Jesus. The love comes straight from God. So if it comes straight from God, it's not like our love. As I said earlier, our love, our expression of love can be tainted. It can be influenced by, you know, our past experiences, whether they're good or bad. It can be, you know, because of motives, selfishness, you know, the pain from the past. That our love goes through all of that, and it influences, you know, the expression of love to other people and to ourselves. And then, love comes straight from God is that pure love. It's that pure love. And so when we have that love in our heart, we are able to love. We're able to love with the love of God, no matter what we may have experienced in the past. No matter how much we have been hurt from the past, you know, or things that have happened, and it's really, it's a challenge to really love those around us. But God, through God's love, we are able to love one another. We're able to love one another. So love is manifested. The heights of love is shown not only in sending the Son, but sending him to be a covering for our sins, a sin offering for us, and to die for us. So if we are of God and God so loves us, we must love one another. I can't say that enough. We might need to just write that out on some paper and put it on our, you know, wherever we are, go out throughout our home, whether it's on the refrigerator and on the bathroom mirror somewhere, so we can see that and get that in our spirit. We must, if God, if we are of God, and there is that if we are of God. So that's saying that if you're not of God, you're not loving properly. You're not loving the right way. You're not loving like God wants us to love. So, and God so loves, but God does love us. He loves us. He loves us unconditionally. And someone may be listening on this morning that's saying that you feel that you're not worthy of God's love. You're not worthy because you may have committed some things, you know, done some things in your past, or even, you know, as soon as last night, maybe, you know, and you're thinking that God can possibly love you. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God does love you. He loves you, and he wants you to receive that love through his son, Jesus Christ. Receive his love. He loves you. So it's easy. It's easy to say, you know, I love God, but it takes the love of God in our hearts to love when it's difficult to love someone else. It's easy to say, you know, people would just throw that out. You know, well, I love you. You know, I love you. But really, do you? You know, do you really? Is that coming from your heart, or is that just a cliche for you to say? You know, it sounds good. You know, as Christians, we do. We like to say things that sound good, but is it really coming from our heart? And is it really coming from our heart? And even when it is difficult to love, to love because of hurt and pain, you know that God loves you, and he wants to see you healed. He wants to see you delivered from that place of hurt and that place of pain, because that's how much he loves you. And I just want to say today that let the love of God into your heart. Let the love of God into that place where you're struggling, where it's so painful that you don't know how you're going to make it through. But God's love is powerful. God's love will heal. God's love will deliver. God's love will bring you through. And all you have to do is just accept his love. Just accept his love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The love of God is in the believer. So the love of God is in the believer. And how do we know that? Okay, so Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given for us. So now hope does not disappoint. Somebody needs to hear that this morning too as well. Praise God. This blessed me when I read this. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given for us. So the Christian hope does not disappoint. Hope will never fail to satisfy our deepest need. We can hope. We can hope and have hope. You know, have that faith. Have the faith in God and his love and his promises. He gave us promises. That's how much he loves us. He gave us promises. And we can hope in those. Hope will never fail to satisfy our deepest need. So what is it that you need this morning? Do you need your joy restored? Do you need your peace restored? You know, what is it that you are in need of? Do you need your faith fortified this morning? Strength. You know, what is it that you are in need of? Hope will never fail to satisfy that deepest need? What is it that you need? You need love. You need to be able to love again. You know, do you? What is it that do you need to be encouraged on today? What is it that you are in need of? Because hope will never fail to satisfy our deepest need. You might need that relationship with your children or with your spouse to be restored. You know, you might need, you feel lonely. You might feel lonely or whatever it may be. And what is the deepest need? Whatever it is, hope. Just remember, hope will never fail to satisfy that deepest need. So the love of God poured into our heart. And that's the assurance that we have that God's promises are not in vain. His promises are not in vain. We have assurance of knowing that. And so we can stand on the promises of God. You know, whatever it is that you are in need of, you need to be, delivered from procrastination. If you need, to be set free from guilt and shame, you know, whatever it may be, you can search the scriptures. You can search the word of God and find out what his word says about that and what he's promised you, So you don't have to go through this thing alone. Whatever it may be, you don't have to go through it alone. You don't have to go through it alone because God has, he's everything that you are in need of, God has made a way of escape for you because of his love, his unconditional love. You know, he's not going to say, well, Yvonne didn't, Yvonne hasn't read her word, you know, in a month, or Yvonne hasn't, she hasn't followed the commandments. She hasn't really trusted in me, and so I'm going to withhold my love from her. I'm going to withhold that. No, that's not the kind of, oh my God, thank you, Lord. That's not the kind of God that we serve. That is not the kind of God that we serve. He loves unconditionally, and so his promises are not in vain. Search the word. Search it. What is it? What is your deepest need? What is it that you are in need of on today? Find it in the Word. Read it. And trust God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And verse 6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So we know that we are in an intimate relationship with God by keeping and obeying his word. So when we obey his word, if he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So what is our love walk like? We need to check our love walk. Are we loving unconditionally? Are we loving those who present a challenge to love? You know, what is our love walk? Are we loving ourselves? We have to love ourselves in order to love other people. So we abide in him. We abide in him. What does the Christian love look like when we're talking about Christian love? What is when we say that? What does it really look like? Because we all have our different views of what love is and what it entails, and the world. If we look at the world, you know, the media, if we can just look at the media and how the media portrays, you know, what love is. And that's not the true love. That's not the love of God. That's not the love that God is saying. I mean, if we look at some of these TV shows and things, the movies and whatever, and they're showing love that is filled with betrayal and distrust, and you know, just that's not love. That's not, you know, loving unconditionally. If you are this way, then I will love you. If you look this way, if you look like this, you know, you are loved. The world, you know, the world will love you if you look like this, if you have a certain way of presenting yourself, or if you are successful in this way, if you own the houses and you own the cars, if you are this or if you are that, the world loves you. That's not the kind of love that God wants us to have. We're to love unconditionally. No, you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to have certain things in order to be loved. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having, you know, material things. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that when a person has those things and then they want to, you know, use that, that's their way of when people are attracted to them because of those things, right? Then that's the kind of love. They feel that people are loving them. People love them because of the things that they have or because of the success that they have. No, that's not what it's all about. Thank you, Lord. So Matthew 22, verses 37 through 38 says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." 38 says, this is the first and great commandment. So what does that mean? What is the scripture saying? It says true obedience comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. It comes from the soul. It comes from the mind. It's an inner attitude. Just like I was just saying a few minutes ago, it's not about the things or what a person represents or any of that. You know, it's not the external things, but it's an inner attitude, an inner attitude. We have an inner attitude of loving God, an inner attitude saying, you know, I want to be obedient to the Lord. It's true obedience to God. It's true obedience to his word. It's true obedience, and it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. So we know that when someone is being obedient, we're truly loving the Lord, and that obedience is coming from the heart, it's going to be different. It's an inner attitude. It's not, if it's an outer thing, if it's external, and we're doing it for show, or we're doing it because, you know, that's what we're supposed to do, but it's not an inner thing. That's why people backslide, I believe. That's why they lose hope, you know, when things start going in the opposite direction, or when it's a hard time, they're facing, you know, troubled times, then they leave the Lord. They you know, retreat. They retreat from God. But it's not, well, that's the time that we need to really, really run to him and hold on to his love and trust in him and just know that, have that confidence in knowing that God is with us, because that's what he's promised. He said he would never, never leave us. And that's an awesome demonstration of love. And as if you think about it, you know, when we walk with someone who is, you know, who's just, we just cannot deal with, you know, sometimes there are people that have, we just have a struggle. You know, it's difficult to be around that person. It's difficult to try to relate to that person, that individual or group of people, you know, whatever it may be. But, you know, trying to walk with that person and be with that person and never leaving them and continuing to be, even though the things that they're doing. But God said that's what he does for us. You know, he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. That's the demonstration of God's love. And then verse 39 says, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm telling you, we don't see that today. And this is not talking about your next door neighbor. We are to love God and others by displaying actions of service that demonstrates love and brings glory to God. Ask yourself how you can be useful and beneficial to your neighbor. Neighbor does not mean just the individuals who live next door to you. But the Bible is referring to the Jews and the Gentiles, meaning whomever you come in contact with is your neighbor. You're in the grocery store, that's your neighbor. And we're talking, you know, spiritual things now. That's your neighbor. You know, on your job, that's your neighbor. In ministry, that's your neighbor. Your family, that's your neighbor. You know, so he says, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's where, right there, some changes need to be made in some of us, because we don't love ourselves. So I want to, you know, I don't know if I want people who are angry all the time, who are despondent all the time, who are bitter, you know, and just they just can't show love. I don't want them loving me like they're loving themselves. So we have to, you know, really check ourselves, check out, do an inventory of our love walk. Do an inventory. Search our hearts. You know if our love walk is in the right place. And sometimes we have to be creative. And there are people who may, you know, within our family members, those that we're close to, you know, that because we have the love of God in our heart, you know, we will be there for them. We will be there. But it's a challenge. It's difficult to love them sometimes. But we have to ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit how we can be creative in loving that person. You know, you look at Jesus and how he loved his disciples, and they were all they had challenges. They were all different. They had different personalities, but he loved them. He loved them, and I think he was creative in his love and how he loved each one of them. And so, that's what we need to do. Just ask God, Lord, show me how to love this person. Show me what they need. And that's the thing. The Holy Spirit will reveal what that person is, what that person needs, what that individual needs. And the Holy Spirit will show you how to meet that need. That's loving, being creative in loving someone who is a challenge to love. That the Holy Spirit will give you discernment and will help you to know, you know, what you need to do, how you need to love that person, because that, you know, loving them may be different. You know, your actions may be different, and what you need to do may be different from someone else that you're showing love to. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 2, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Oh, my goodness. That's how important love is. That's how essential love is to our relationships to others and God. That's how essential love is. You know, you can, all these things, you can, you know, a person can preach up a storm. You know, they can, as the scripture is saying, speak with tongues. And, you know, but all of these things, what is it going to be like? It's going to be said, it's just like nothing. It's like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, you know, just making noise, but not being fruitful. But we don't want our love to be like that. We don't want our, you know, we can do all these things for Christ. We can do all these things, you know, and have all these gifts and have, they don't, you know, all this, all the works and everything, but no love with it, then it's reduced to nothing. Oh, my goodness. Again, checking our love walk. And so the Corinthians were, they were enamored with spiritual gifts. They had, you know, these spiritual gifts, especially the gift of tongues. But Paul reminded them even the gift of tongues is meaningless Without love, a person may speak with the gift of tongues, but it is as meaningless, as I said, as the sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So that's what the Christian love looks like. Praise God. I just wanted to read from another translation. Let's see. Hold on. 13. What is it? 4-7. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't envious. It doesn't boast. It doesn't brag or strut about. There's no arrogance in love. It's never rude, crude, or indecent. It's not self-absorbed. Love isn't easily upset, and love doesn't tally wrongs or celebrate injustice, but truth, yes, truth, is love's delight. Love puts up with anything and everything that comes along. It trusts, it hopes, and endures no matter what. And verse 8 says, love will never become obsolete. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we see what love is. That's what our love walk should look like. But I said earlier that we are to check our love walk. What does it look like? The Corinthian Christians were not walking in the Spirit. They were selfish. They were fault-finding believers who looked down on others whom they perceived had less knowledge or gifts than themselves. They had little regard for others, but much for themselves. They didn't lack any gift, but were terribly deficient in spiritual fruit. So we can have all the gifts, but we don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that is in which one is love. And their greatest lack was love. It's like, Paul wanted to let them know that, you know, that love, they had to have love. They had to have the love. So the love of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that the Christians are required to give to others is a self-giving love. It's love that costs something. It's more concerned with what can I give rather than what can I get from this relationship. And we have to think about that sometimes in our relationships. You know, a lot of times when they're individuals, they're people, you know, what can I get out of this relationship? Instead of thinking about, well, what can I give to this relationship? What can I give? What love can I give? What can I give to this relationship? Yes, that person may get on my nerves. Oh, yes, that person may be a challenge to love, but what can I give to this relationship? It goes back to what I was saying, being creative and loving that individual. What can I get? To give, what can I give rather than what can I get? It's unnatural for our human nature. That's why we have to have the love of God in our heart. Relationships begin with people being in love. Okay, that's when we're talking about the romantic kind. And unfortunately, it stops there, and the love does not mature. Love has to grow and be nurtured as we are, you know, the closer we get to God, the more we know about God, our love is nurtured, and it grows, and it becomes stronger. Love endures all things. How do you respond to someone who does not return your love? And a lot of times there are individuals who are hurt behind that. You know, how do you respond to someone who does not return your love? Do you get angry? Do you upset? Do you say, I don't, want to deal with that person anymore? No, what do? We continue to love. We continue to walk as Jesus walked in the love walk that he has. So many times we have unrealistic expectations of what that love should look like. But the Bible has given us a blueprint of what true love is. And what is that? It's the agape love. It's a love that loves without changing. It only grows. Love should only grow. It should only get stronger. It is a self-giving love that gives without demanding or expecting repayment. Young people need to hear this. Young ladies need to hear this. Single ladies need to hear this. That love is gives. That self-giving love should be done, given without demanding or expecting repayment. If I always say that single individuals, that if you are looking for a spouse or wanting to get married or remarried or whatever it may be, then what do you have that standard? What standard do you have? What are you measuring that person's love, that person's love walk with? And if it's self-giving love that's not demanding or expecting repayment, that's the type of love that you're looking for. But if it's not, then you might need to run the opposite direction. Is it love so great that it can be given to the unlovable or unappealing? It is love that loves even when it is rejected. This is the agape love. This is not the romantic love, but the agape love. Agape love gives and loves because it wants to. It does not demand or expect repayment from the love given. It gives because it loves. It does not love in order to receive. That's the agape love. This is the blueprint for what true love is. Love suffers long. Love will endure a long time. It is the heart shown in God when it is said of the Lord, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. If God's love is in us, we will be long-suffering to those who annoy us and hurt us. So just think about that. You have anybody in your circle right now, and that person is so annoying, their behavior is annoying, the things that they do, it just annoys you and sometimes even hurts you. But we have that long suffering because God's love is in us. We will be long suffering towards that individual or individuals. That's why it goes back to God's love is essential to any relationship that we are in. Love is kind. When we have and show God's love, it will be seen in simple acts of kindness. A wonderful measure of kindness is to see how children receive us. Children won't receive and respond to unkind people. They just don't do it. They don't do it. Children are just, they just don't do it. They know. They can sense things. So love is kind, and we need to show kindness. Just simple acts of kindness. It doesn't have to be any grand thing. Just a simple act of kindness will go a long way. Love does not envy. Envy is one of the least productive and most damaging of all sins. It accomplishes nothing except to hurt. Love keeps us distance from envy and does not resent it when someone else is promoted or blessed. So do you have a hard time, celebrating your brothers and sisters in Christ when God is elevating them, when they're being blessed? Okay, so, we need to, again, search our hearts. Are you envious of that person who received that promotion when you thought that you should have, or who got the new car when you've been wanting that same car, or, whatever it may be, and you find yourself being envy? Check your heart. Check your love walk. The love does not envy, but we're to celebrate those who God promotes and he blesses. Love does not parade itself. Love in action can work anonymously. It does not have to have the limelight or the attention to do a good job or to be satisfied with the result. Love gives because it loves to give, not out of the sense of praise it can have from showing itself off. So when we're doing something because we love, or we say we love people, and we're doing things, are we doing it out to be in the limelight? Are we doing it because we want to be recognized or we want to get attention? But are we doing it from our heart and because we want to? Because we want to do that, because we want to serve. You know, are you serving your leaders in your church because you really want to do that? You have a heart to do that. Or you're trying to gain brownie points, or you're trying to, to be recognized. Love does not parade itself. And then sometimes the people who work the hardest at love are those the furthest from it. They do things many would perceive as loving, yet they do them in a manner which would parade itself. This isn't love. It is pride looking for glory by the appearance of love. Oh, my goodness. It's the appearance of love, but it's not love. It is that pride looking for the glory. God is to be glorified in all that we do. God, not us, but God is to be glorified in all that we do. Is God getting the glory out of that? So if somebody is doing that, that they're doing it because of, they want to be recognized, or they want to, be seen as loving, as the loving person. But it isn't truly love. Love is not puffed up. So to be puffed up is to be arrogant, and self-focused is speaks of someone who has a big head. Love doesn't get its head swelled. It focuses on the needs of others. So love is not puffed up. It focuses on the needs of others. Sometimes we have to put aside, and sacrifice. Sometimes we have to sacrifice to show love to someone. You know, it's not about us. It's not about us, but it's showing the love of God. It's about allowing God's love in our hearts to focus on that need of that individual or group of people or whoever it may be. And love does not behave rudely. So when we are showing love, the sister fruit of the Spirit should be kindness and goodness. You know, when there's love, there will be kindness, there will be goodness. We will show ourselves, we will represent God in a godly way, you know, by being respectful and mannerable to people. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to be respectful to someone. And I'm telling you, sometimes when we're out and, I'm out and about and doing, going to the store, people can be rude sometimes. You know, people can just be, just rude. But, you know, showing kindness to people, and not looking down on people. And then love does not seek its own. So Paul communicates the same idea in Romans 12 and 10 in honor of giving preference to one another. So also Philippians 2 and 4 carries the same thought. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This is being like Jesus in the most loving way, being, centered on others' needs. You know, what does a person need? What is the need? And then being willing and able, and sometimes it might take a sacrifice to meet that person's need. It may take a sacrifice, but I'm telling you, when we sacrifice, we will feel, it's not about feelings, but we will sense the love of God in our hearts and around us and with us. Hallelujah. And so love is not provoked. We find it easy to be provoked. So we can become irritated with people. You know, again, like I said, because some people just, they are, and I'm just, some people are irritating and some people can be annoying. But we're not provoked by that. We don't provoke others either. But we're, you know, but love is not provoked. Okay, so, but we don't become irritated when other people are annoying that's around us. Love thinks no evil. And it does not store, and this is really something that we need to think about. We can find sometimes that, you know, things have happened, people have hurt us, yes, and we have those memories stored up, but love doesn't store up the memory of the wrong. Okay, so if you're in a relationship and you find yourself always bringing up the wrong that the person has done to you, then go to the Lord. Ask God to help you with that, because love does not store up memories. It doesn't think evil of the person. It doesn't think evil of the person. That follows along with forgiveness, you know, being able to forgive. Now, sometimes we may not forget, and I'm going to say this. There are times when we don't forget about it, but we don't need to store it. We don't need to have it in our memory so that it influences how we relate to that person or people. We may not be in the company of that individual anymore, okay? But the memory, sometimes is that memory is good for to help others, all right? To be a testimony for someone else, to bring someone else out of the same thing that you've experienced, right? And so when we forgive because the Bible says we are to forgive. God says we forgive. Jesus said to forgive, you know, and we are to forgive, but we forgive the person, okay? You forgive the person, but you still knowing that the act, you know, you don't justify the act. You don't justify the behavior. Okay, so you don't justify that. But with God's love and God's help, he will help you through the hurt and the pain associated with that act and associated with that behavior, okay? So I hope that makes sense with that. But, yeah, but sometimes people ask, well, how do you know you've forgiven someone? You know, how do you know that? Well, it is, first of all, you begin to have peace, okay, peace in your heart. You have peace about it. Thinking about that person does not take you into a dark place. You see that person as God sees them. You know, you see them in their delivered state. But as far as the act or the behavior, you know, whatever it was that caused the hurt and pain, you know, God will heal. God will heal you through that. But God can use that to help others. Okay, God can use that to, you know, to strengthen you, you know, whatever it may be, to help you in your love walk as well. So, but don't let that memory, you know, store up that memory of any wrong that it causes you to be bitter and it causes you to be angry. All right, so that love will put away, so you know, the hurts and allow God to deal with it instead of clinging on to it. You know, some people get stuck in the past. They get stuck there. They get stuck in you know, what someone did to them. They get stuck. They can't move on with that. They're clinging onto the hurt. They're clinging onto the pain because they're in their mind that they're thinking that it was, you know, because of the shame and the guilt that they should have done something, or they should have the what ifs. You know, what if I, you know, told someone, what if I did this thing, or what if I stood up to that person, or what if I'd left, you know, whatever it may be, okay? But it causes that person to stay in that place of the shame and the guilt and allowing that traumatic experience to keep them in that place. When God's love will help them to be healed. God's love will help them to put away that hurt and not to hold on to it. And love does not rejoice in iniquity. It is willing to want the best for others. We should always want the best for others. That's love. Can you do that? Can you want the best for that person who has mistreated you? You know, that goes back to, you know, being kind to others, you know, celebrating others when God is blessing them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And love bears all things. And so the word bears can also be translated as cover. So Paul brings an important truth along with 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love covers, that it's never, there are busybodies that, you know, will try to bring out the faults of people. You've seen people just want to see, you know, the fault of the person. They always want to, you know, find out what is wrong with the person, what's going on, you know, find out the fault instead of seeing what the best in that person. It goes back to, I say, find a way to love that first person. Find a way to meet the need of that person. But you cannot do that if the focus is on what is wrong. When I was in the school system, before I retired from the school system, you know, when children would be go from one class, you know, for year being promoted, and they go to a different teacher and so forth, they would have, you know, sometimes the students would carry a reputation with them, and which was when it got to the next teacher, they would know about that student, okay? They know the reputation. But a good teacher will not look at the reputation, what's coming with the student, but what the student is bringing, what the good in that student, you know, what they see in that student. And so so that's what we're to do. You know, we're to see what is the good in the person. Hallelujah. What is the good in the person? Love believes all things. We never believe a lie, but we never believe evil unless the facts demand it. Okay, so again, it goes back to believing the best about others. And that's what we should do too, is believe the best about someone. I know sometimes it may be challenging to do that. It may be difficult to do that because that what that person has done is just, you know, so blatant and just staring you in the face, you know, but God, but the Holy Spirit will help us to see that person in their deliberate state, you know, as God has made them to be and created them to be. And then we are to hope all things, have confidence in the future, and not, you know, just have confidence in what God is. He's the author and finisher of our faith, amen? So he knows all about us. He knows what we need. He orders our steps. You know, when we are in a place when we are hurt and things don't go as the way that we expected, look at it. It's not going to be that way forever. It's not going to be. God has his promises. He has a purpose and plan for our lives. So nothing like that will stay forever. It will not stay forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Love endures all things. Love, and, you know, just know, just trust in God. Just believe in God's love and let the love of God flow from your heart. Just keep on bearing, believing, and hoping. Amen. Yeah, love does not give up. It endures. It does not give up. It does not give up. And if you notice that love does not give up, what happens? That person will begin to see life in a different way. There you will have a better relationship with them, but endures all things. So if you let your love walk be steadfast, let it not be compromised by someone else who is, who's bitter or angry toward you. But keep trusting God, keep loving, and let God work it out, because he will. And the commentary from Spurgeon says, if your brethren are angry without a cause, be sorry for them, but do not let them conquer you by driving you into a bad temper. Stand fast in love. Endure not some things, but all things for Christ's sake, so you shall prove yourself to be a Christian indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So let's love God. Let's walk in love, and let's be, allow God to enter our hearts. And if you have not made Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, trust him today to come into your heart and experience the love of God like you have never experienced before. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen again. That's what is needed in the church and out of the church is God's love. That's why Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish. Ella, Allison, I would like to ask a question. How do you, the person that getting on your nerves, and you spoke about it in your message, and just annoying, I think that's the word that you use. How do you handle that? With love,
yes. And it takes really, first of all, looking within ourselves, okay? Finding out, why is that person annoying to us? What is it, why do we allow that person to annoy us, or the thing that they're doing, or what it is that they are, whatever the behavior is? But why are we allowing it? So we have to look within ourselves and search our hearts and find out, okay, how do I need to change?
Okay.
What's in my heart that needs to change? And and it is the love of God. We have the love of God in our hearts. You know, God, he changes us from the inside out. And so what's changed on the inside will show on the outside. And that's why I said loving that person in a creative way. Because God will show us through his love how to love that person. But it starts with us, and so we have to look within our heart and see how we can change.
Okay. Anyone else have a question they would like to ask right quick before I turn in to Sister Diane Hand? Man, because this is a good topic and be preached the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because truly God is. And if you have that agape love that he sent from on high, you're going to love anyhow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to have a forgiving spirit. See? And
mm-hmm.
as you were ministering, I've been looking here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And that perfect means complete, because fear have time. He that fears is not made perfect in love. See, you're not made complete yet. See, so you hit the nail dead on the head. We need to do some soul searching. You know, we good at pitching the bricks at somebody else's glass house. But like my pitcher used to tell me, same thing as you got the thumb coming back towards you. See, so we all need to look in the mirror and do some searching because love is much needed. And even in our world today, this is why it's so divided. So, but we do know, amen, according to the word of God, that love will conquer hate. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to turn it in the hands of Sister Diane for the announcement.
Amen, amen, amen. Elder Addison, thank you for bringing forth the word today. You allow God to truly use you today. So if anyone have missed this broadcast from the beginning, oh, guess what? We have a caller here. We can go ahead and run the time with that caller.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, you're on the
air. Praise God. This is Minister Diana Dungy, and I just want to thank my sister, Pastor Allison, for the word on love. It was so on point. And one thing that really hit my gut, I say convicted me, was the point she made about forgiveness. When you forgiven someone, but yet whenever you talk about your experience with them, it's always a negative thing that they have done. But if you have been forgiven, that should not even be a part of the conversation. We have to forgive. Now, we're not going to forget. He said we can use the experience as a testimony to others. But when we're talking about that person, we shouldn't be relating the negative things that they have done.
So I
thank God for that. And I thank God for you. And I pray that God continue to use you, take you to higher heights in him, that he continue to protect you, lead you and guide you into all truth. God bless this awesome broadcast, Bishop Benjamin, Pastor Benjamin, and Deacon Michael, all of you that are attached to the city of Logion, the city of Victory. We just thank you, and I love all of you guys. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And you know, when we talk about forgiving, but we won't forget, we can't forget, you know, what this person did to us. It's funny how God said he will toss it into the sea of forgetfulness, but we can't toss it into the sea of forgetfulness. That's something we all need to work on. And I just thank you, Elder Addison, for this word coming forth today.
To God be the glory. Amen.
Bishop Porter, you were saying something. I'm sorry to cut you off.
I just wanted to say the problem is, and the key to having a forgiving spirit, you got to communicate. Jesus made it very clear in St. Mark 11:25-26. If you ain't praying, forgive if you have an ought against any, that your Father also which in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And then he went deeper. 26 say, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And then we won't come and communicate. We'll talk to everybody else, but they won't come to the person who we have the ought against. And this is what's going on. And it spreads. See? And they get one side instead of hearing the whole story. Always two sides to every story. But people need to sit down and communicate. And this is the breakdown with the love. Back in your hands today.
Amen, amen, amen. We just thank God for everyone that participated in this broadcast. Join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell a friend. Again, that calling number is 347-857-3925. Share it today. Till then, be blessed.
much on my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. And I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. And he said, you don't have to cry, I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying how the story is,
when I let go,
and I let God have it.
That's when things start happening.
I stop looking at that thing.
When I let go,
let him have.
There's so much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I had to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah.
As soon as I stop worrying how the story is,
I can let go
and let go and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God.